listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night. Our delayed broadcast going out into Christchurch on Saturday night, Kapiti Coast Sunday afternoon, and Wellington Sunday evening, and every other night of the week on planetaudio.org.nz. And of course, the programme brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And Oliver Lee is my name, and I hope wherever you're listening tonight, you can stick around for the next hour. We'll bring you some great music. Actually, all the music tonight is picked by a guest I'll introduce to you in a few minutes' time. His name is Declan Scott. He's originally from Monaghan and living here in New Zealand. He's just come back from a trip to Ireland, and he's got a strong connection with a famous Irish singer. So more about that later on. But wherever you're listening tonight around the country, I hope you can enjoy the programme here for the next hour, where, as I said, we'll have music and all of the music tonight picked by Declan. So we might as well start with this song. It's called One Day at a Time, and I'll tell you more about this later on. That's Gloria singing One Day at a Time, and that song was in the charts in Ireland for a long, long time, and we'll find out more about Gloria in a few minutes when I introduce you to my special guest on the programme tonight, Declan Scott, who's from Monaghan but living here in New Zealand and has just returned after a trip back to Ireland. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, and the headlines from the papers in Ireland this morning, the Irish Times leads with third-level colleges face stringent new penalties for misconduct. Commission president open to Brexit delay. There was a new commission president elected yesterday. She was a former German defence minister, Ursula von der Leyen, and she sounds like that she's very supportive of Ireland and making sure that you know, there's a smooth transition with when Brexit happens at the end of October. She said she might even extend the deadline there to help out. FAI, we've covered plenty about the Football Association of Ireland on the programme for the last few months. And they are due to have an EGM coming up in a week's time. News broke last week they wouldn't publish their accounts at the EGM. And even more unbelievable news is that a number of directors of the FAI who were not supposed to put their names back up again for re-election have decided, and some of them looks like they're going to be re-elected unanimously. And the Minister for Sport, Shane Ross, has come out and strongly criticised them because he said unless there's big changes in the Football Association of Ireland, they won't be getting the grants from the government. The weather in Ireland is pretty good. It's cloudy and wet and turning more showery this evening. Now, Ireland is mourning the loss of a great entertainer over the last week. Brendan Grace passed away since I was on the programme here last week, and his funeral took place on Monday in the Liberties in Dublin. And I'll see now if I can, find a bit of Brendan Grace with some of his comedy acts. This is the one where he's talking about he being the best man at a wedding. So it'll just take me a second now here to bring it up because I have to press a few different buttons to get him. So here we are. This is Brendan Grace, best man at a wedding. Or the father, the best man at the wedding. The best man was on first. This is the father of the bride speaking.
I am happy that my daughter is getting on me, getting married. I remember when she first came to me. And she said that she wanted to get married. I said, is it someone you know? It turned out to be someone now. So he came around to my house, you know what I mean? And he said, I'd like to marry your daughter. I said, have you seen her mother? And he said, I have, but I'd sooner marry your daughter which he did. I'd like to thank everybody today who bought a gift. Everybody except for two who didn't bother their father. Who didn't bother to buy anything. Now, they are the two that got no dinner here today. And they weren't on our side of the family either. Now, today, I would like to just remind you of the wedding gifts that have been received. There were 25 ironing boards, 17 lampshades, all useless, and an electric toaster that only works in America. And some smarter Alec, some comedian here, bought them a pram. A baby carriage. And had it delivered to the church. Marked urgent. If I find out who he was, I'd like to help him to laugh it off in the intensive care unit in the county hospital. Now, this wedding today is costing me a fortune, and I would like to call upon the chef to come out and face us. Today was the first time I saw roast beef glowing in the dark. And Brussels sprouts in their jackets. I thought the chef made a bowl to the cabbage. Now, and well, that's a good match. I'll keep that. I would like to single out the man who's now my son-in-law. We're related now through drink. My daughter could have married. We're intelligent. She could have married a man
with money.
With money. Are you listening to me down there? She could have married a man who was working. She could have married a man that wasn't working but was willing to work. She could have married a man.
Yes, well, that's Brendan Grace. And Brendan passed away last weekend after a short battle. He was only 68. He was really only sick for about a month in the hospital down in Galway. And here's a song from him all about the combine harvester.
Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, let's live together in perfect harmony. I've got 20 acres and you've got 43. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key.
Will you come down off that cocker here and listen to me?
I'll stick by you, I'll give you all that you need. We'll have meat for dinner 7 days every week. And you know I love you, girly, so give me your hand. But the thing I love most is all them acres of land. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, let's live together in perfect harmony. I've got 20 acres and you've got 43. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key.
Stop biting your nails, you old devil, you.
For 7 long years I've been alone in this place. The old dad died and I was left. If I cleaned it up, would you change your mind? A new thatch of straw, a splash of whitewash and lime. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, let's live together in perfect harmony. I've got 20 acres and you've got 43. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key.
Groovy baby, weren't we the fine couple at the last Machrid dance? I wore lashings of hair oil and a crease in my pants.
In your new Yankee dress with the perfume smelling grand. And we got our photograph took and was holding hands. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Now that we're both past our 50s, it's time that you and me stopped all this gallivanting and Julia marry me. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester.
God bless us, Julia, wouldn't you get dizzy looking down at all that small field? Fair play to you, girl. It didn't take you long to learn how to operate her. Ah, go on, give it an old squeeze. Ah, go on. Oh, we're going out of control. Oh, look at that ditch.
Yes, indeed, the late Brendan Grace there with a party piece before that, pretending, well, he was the best man at a wedding, and that particular video or YouTube video has been watched so many times, and there he was, as well as being a comedian, he was also a good singer, and had a short battle with cancer and passed away on Friday and was laid to rest. Well, his funeral took place yesterday. He was cremated in Francis Street in the city centre in Dublin. If you just tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night, and the programme brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. And as I said, weather is pretty good in Ireland. Stays that way for the next few days because the British Open golf tournament actually takes place this weekend, and it's taking place up in Portrush, Royal Portrush Golf Club in County Antrim, and all the big names in golf are arriving there at the moment, and it gets underway tomorrow morning. But we'll bring you all the sports results from Ireland later on the programme tonight, and the heavyweights are coming out in hurling and in football, and we'll give you all the details. But as I said earlier on, I've got a special guest in the programme tonight, a man who's from Monaghan and who's been living here for a number of years and just come back after a trip to Ireland. Declan, pull into that mic there. You're very welcome along here to Ireland Calling on a Wednesday night.
Thank you, Ollie. Lovely to be here.
And we'll talk more about your trip to Ireland in a few minutes. But earlier on tonight, we played a song from Gloria, which was a number one hit in Ireland for many years. Roughly how many? Was it weeks, wasn't it? It was a couple, nearly 2 years, was it, or something?
It was definitely on the 50 to the 100 weeks. I can't remember.
And tell me your connection with Gloria.
Well, she was my aunt, and her husband at the time, Don, used to practice in our house quite regularly with the whole band. In fact, we had a big living room, and so I'd come home from school and there'd be cars parked all around the house, and the place would be throbbing, the whole house would be lifting with, she had quite a powerful voice, still has, and still back on the road, and she used to, I remember that song very well, and heard it so many times, and she was a great entertainer. Right. So that was my connection there.
Very good, and still going strong. And of course, from Monaghan, where you're from, there's strong connection with the country music. We know Big Tom, who passed away last year, Castleblaney, not too far. And I know when the Minister for Trade and Enterprise, Heather Humphreys, was here recently, she grew up, you both grew up not far away. Whereabouts in Monaghan did you grow up? And tell us what you did when you left Monaghan and how you got to New Zealand.
Well, I grew up right on the border, Ollie, close to Rosslea, which is on the Fermanagh border. So anybody that knows Scotchtown, Smithborough, Rosslea, I went to school in Smithborough. So it wasn't an easy part of the country to grow up in. It didn't have a lot of resources. Some would say there was a lot of bandits and a lot of crooks around there. So my first job actually was smuggling. And, you know, that was just what everybody did. You looked for the opportunity and you
so
took
you were
it.
Living there. Obviously the troubles were still, as we call them, still
yeah
happening.
Very were, active yeah, very I remember active. The windows in our house getting blown out, and I remember sitting in our bedroom at night looking at flare bullets going across the sky and helicopters shining up the house.
What years are we talking here, in the 70s?
Yeah, I was born in 1970, so right through the 70s it was pretty active at that time, and you knew who everybody was. You watched you know, obviously a very mixed community. You try and get on well, but you certainly know who everybody is. And so there was always a tension there, living right on the border, about, you know, a mile and a half from the checkpoints. So to go into our nearest village in Rosslea, you had to go through the checkpoint. So to go to mass, to go to the shop, to do any of those things. So it was just an integrated part of our life, Oliver. Now when I go back and we can zip in the road without stopping, I often think, my goodness, it used to take us a half an hour to get in.
And you've just come back, of course, you know, the big thing on Ireland's minds, and we talked to Heather about this a few weeks ago, is Brexit. It's either at the end of October, it might be extended. And this, if there isn't a deal done with Britain, it's going to have a huge impact on Ireland, all of Ireland, but especially the border counties. So when you were back there recently, were people you were meeting hoping that a deal can be done? So
oh, look, I think generally people are a bit sick of it, and they're a bit sick of all the talk. They want to know what's happening. And, you know, I think about growing up in Monaghan, it was a very resilient county because there was nobody giving handouts at that time. There was nothing really for the people there. It was a very agricultural base of mushrooms, eggs, that was what I used to work in, a lot of the egg industry, smuggling eggs and gathering eggs and chickens and all of that. So there was nothing flash about it. And so people learned to adapt. And I think we will again. There's not a problem there in that. I think people are always looking for the opportunity. So it definitely is bandit country. I think no matter what happens, people will find a back road. They'll find a way to get through and make the most out of it. I hope it doesn't come back to the customs huts and, you know, all of that sort of scene that used to be there, and certainly not checkpoints. I hope it doesn't get back to that as well. I think we've moved beyond
that.
Well,
I think everybody, the government, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and all the ministers, they really want to make a deal happen. And I see the new president of the European Commission, she's willing to extend that hand of friendship to Britain. It looks like that Boris Johnson will be probably the next leader of the Conservative Party and indeed Prime Minister of Britain, and obviously he says, and Hunt, that they want to renegotiate the deal with but we'll come back and talk more about your trip. You were there, you had great weather, you travelled a lot around the country. You, like me, you love going back to home. You do, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't go back for 10 years after I came to New Zealand, and that was the period of time I was living in Christchurch. So obviously we were burdened with lots of earthquakes, and I had started a business down there, and you know, 1 year became, you know, 2, 3, 5, and suddenly it was almost 10 years, and it was shocking because I love Ireland and I love my family, and they were all well. And then just the year before, I'd planned every year to go back, and then my granny passed away, and we were very close, and then I went back 2 years ago with my son when he turned 15 and had a wonderful trip and reunion with many people. And then again, just more recently in the last month with my daughter, who's just turning 15 now. It's almost like a rite of passage that
Brilliant.
I've got to go and escort them around Ireland. And I kept an old camper van there and dad, and it's going great and I love it. And so we travel around the country and we connect with everybody again when we're there. So it's a bit of a wanderly wagon, as we call it.
Right, you've picked all the music for tonight, so tell me what song you'd like me to play next. If you just give me the name of the artist that you selected, I'll hit the button here, have them all lined up here. And,
Well, I think the next one I picked was by Damien Rice, and it's funny, my uncle, Don, is in the show business, still a promoter, and, you know, very active and always has been. And I always thought I'd be a promoter of some sort, and I remember the first time I heard Damien Rice play, and I thought, wow, I think I might ask this guy if he needs somebody to manage him or promote him.
Right.
Now, I thought, I'd only heard the music, didn't know he was famous at all. I thought, I'm going to contact him. And then I looked it up, and he was massive everywhere. And I sometimes think of it that I was naive to think that he would even need somebody like me to promote him. But
here he is, singing The Blower's Daughter.
And so it is, just like you said it would be. Life goes easy on me. Most of the time. And so it is. Shorter story. No love, no glory. No hero in her sky. Take my eyes off of you. Can't take my eyes off you. I 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 can't take my eyes. So it is, just like you said it should be. We'll both forget the breeze. Most of the time. And so it is. Thank you. can't take my eyes off of you. I can't take my eyes off of you. I can't take my eyes off of you. Can't take my eyes off you. I can't take my take my mind off of you. I can't take my mind off of you. I can't take my mind. My mind.
Yes, well, that's a song called The Blower's Daughter by Damien Rice. If you tuned in, God, I can't believe nearly half an hour gone, you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on Planet FM in Auckland on a Wednesday night, delayed broadcasts in Christchurch Saturday night, Wellington and Kapiti Coast Sunday, and around the globe on planetaudio.org.nz, and a programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, we were all, well, most of us were up the early hours of Monday morning through the night watching the cricket. And what, you know, mixed fortunes it was for New Zealand and I suppose the Irish here in New Zealand, the fact that we had an Irishman lifting the trophy for England in a nail-biting match. A man that played a bit of hurling in Dublin, Owen Morgan. But anyway, disappointment for New Zealand. But meanwhile, that was all going on. The Super 8s in football, the first round of games took place both on Saturday and Sunday. And first of all, in Group A, Donegal, they played Meath on Sunday, big winners, 219 to 113. And Kerry, big winners as well. They weren't doing that well in Munster, the Munster Championship, but they certainly shone at home last week against Mayo, 121 to 15 points. In the Group B, Roscommon were at home to Tyrone in Hyde Park on Saturday evening, and they were beaten by 17 points to 13. And Dublin, they were only beaten leading Cork by about 3 points with about 7 minutes to go, but they scored 4 quick goals, so the final score was 5-18 to 1-17. So next weekend in Group B, you have Cork are playing Tyrone in Croke Park, and Dublin are playing Roscommon. So tough road ahead there for the Rossies at the moment. And then in the other series of games, Mayo are playing Meath on the 21st in Croke Park, and Kerry are playing Donegal in Croke Park. So all the big games are in Croke Park this weekend. And then that was on Saturday and Sunday. And then the quarterfinals in the hurling took place. And you had Kilkenny against Cork. And Kilkenny, certainly, they were lucky to get through in the Leinster Championship, having been beaten by Galway and Wexford. But they got in the back door and they played Cork and they beat them 227 to 318. Quarter final had Tipperary beaten Laois 225 to 118. So on the 27th and 28th of July, the All Ireland Hurling semi finals will be Limerick against Kilkenny and Wexford against Tipperary. And of course, that would be fantastic to see a Limerick and Wexford All Ireland final, but it could easily just be a Kilkenny and Tipperary final. So plenty of excitement coming up on the football front in the coming weeks. And don't forget, you can watch your favourite team, and indeed your non-favourite team, on from the comfort of your home on gaago.ie. gaago.ie. There's various basically plans that you can get in there, and if you want to see the games between coming up in the next few weeks. Right, we continue on with a bit more music here. And this time I'll pick one of the songs that Declan has chosen for us tonight. And we had a chat with these guys when they were here many years ago. It's Hot House Flowers, and I can see clearly now. Yes, Liam Weanley there, and a lovely song called I Can See Clearly Now. And that is Liam. Was in New Zealand many years ago with Hot House Flowers, but he's still going strong. And in fact, Fake No Brain on one of his other co-band members, you can hear him on RTE Radio Friday and Saturday nights. He does the late night show starting around 11 o'clock till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And very easy to tune in to hear RTE. It's free on all the other radio stations. And I'm delighted to have in the studio tonight Declan Scott, and who's here looking around and seeing what's happening on Planet FM here. Declan, 30 years ago, next month I came in and I was looking around like you, and I didn't know how to do all this and press buttons, and I'll be celebrating 30. Actually, the radio station think I've been going for 32 years, but that would mean I was broadcasting before I left Ireland. But no, but I was fascinated with radio when I was growing up on, and still like radio. How about you? Did you pull in a bit closer there to the
mic?
You look
right at home there, Ollie, yeah, I must say.
Pushing the buttons. So tell us a bit about Move On. You moved to Ireland, you come down to New Zealand. What do you do when you come down here, and what are you doing now?
Well, I took the long road, and I started in Dublin and then moved to London soon after qualifying as a chartered accountant with KPMG. I trained with them in Dublin and stayed around London for a few years, and then decided to take a year travelling. So we went around the world. This is my first wife, Una, and I. And we ended up settling in Melbourne. So that was a great place, and we really enjoyed Melbourne and enjoyed Australia. Actually ended up, the company that I was working for, KPMG, moved me to Australia,
right,
gave me a secondment. And so I ended up living and working there for a number of years, becoming a citizen of Australia. Is that allowed?
Oh, yes, and I'm a citizen of New Zealand as well.
I got the citizenship and left that company, and actually ended up becoming a lecturer in a couple of universities.
Well done.
And ended up on the West Coast in Fremantle, so working at UWA. And very lucky to meet an Irishman who was the head of the business school there, who sort of opened the door for me to come in and start lecturing there. So it was a great opportunity to learn the skills of speaking to large audiences. I initially went in as a tutor, and at the beginning of term, he called me into his office, and Ian was his name, a guy from Belfast, and he said, how would you feel about taking on the lecturing position? And there's 300 in the class. So I went overnight from being a tutor to being a lecturer, and did it for a couple of years, actually. And that was a great skill. That I remember the fear of walking into that lecture theatre the first time. But now, thankfully, it supports me in what I do. And I ended up leaving Fremantle to move to Christchurch. And that's how I ended up. And that's 14 years ago, next month. And that was a big shift. And initially, I thought I'd apply for the local university in Christchurch, University of Canterbury, who happened to be looking for a text lecturer. And I thought, this must happen only once in a lifetime. The stars must have aligned for me to do this. So I flew over, did the interview and presented to the panel, and I thought it went great, and was back waiting on the call, and got the call, and it was, you didn't get the job.
All right.
And I already had bought a house in Christchurch, and so I had to get on with it, and ended up moving to Christchurch 14 years ago, and went through a tough time where we started making at a local farmer's market selling chocolates.
Right, and so you go from being a tax accountant to be a lecturer to making chocolate a little
small
industry. Yeah, right.
That's right. And that was, we'd started playing around with it in Australia when we were there, and it was a very funny story, Ollie, that I have to tell you, that I had left the church when I was in Ireland. I was actually quite devout and was into the Catholic Church when I was growing up, and went to Lough Derrick every year, Patrick's Purgatory. And I loved it there, and even had considered being a priest at one stage. But moved on from that and actually dropped all religion in my life, and ended up reconnecting in Melbourne with a local church. And it was really down to the charisma of the local priest, who was a bit of a personality, and he felt the community. This was in Collingwood, in the centre of Melbourne, and it was a home from home for me.
Brilliant.
And long story short, we were running fundraising dinners, and the parishioners were taking food to this dinner, and I was serving, and Father Ernie Smith was the sort of the host of the party, and we would have these fundraising dinners in the priest's house, and there were great laughs, and I was serving the food and playing guitar and singing. And on one of the nights, this particular lady from Armagh brought some chocolates she had made at home, and she was a lady maybe in her 70s, Pat was her name, and I never had tasted anything like them, and they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And my wife at the time, Una, was there also for the dinner, and ended up sharing the recipe with her, and Una started to play with the chocolates and started to investigate it a bit more. And that ended up being the first chocolate that we launched in Byron Bay when we lived there.
Oh,
and
right.
They're gluten-free.
Yeah,
and we call them decadent dates, and they are still one of our biggest sellers now in New Zealand. So when we started in New Zealand many years later, we launched Decadent Dates as our first product, and it was our only product for some time.
And where can people buy your chocolates? What are the brand name now?
So the brand name is called She, S-H-E, She Universe.
Yes.
And we're a Christchurch-based company, although we sell everywhere around New Zealand in gourmet outlets. We have a restaurant in Christchurch as well as a shop at the tannery.
And where is that in Christchurch? So our listeners in Christchurch?
In the Lyttelton Harbour in Governor's Bay.
Yes.
So we look down the Lyttelton Harbour, and it's quite a large venue there. Beautiful setting with vistas across the harbour to Lyttelton.
Is it up on the top on a hill, is it? Is that the place?
You go past the sign of the Kiwi at the top of the hill, and you drop down the back into literally the base of the volcano. There's the Governor's Bay Hotels on one side of the road, and She Universe is on the other side.
Right, yeah.
So we make all the chocolates there now. We initially started the chocolate company in the house next door, which we own, and we were in our kitchen until we got a few contracts and we had to sort of pick it up a bit, and we converted our bathroom into a chocolate kitchen.
Oh,
we ripped the bathroom out, put a chocolate kitchen in, and started from that place making the one chocolate. So now we sell all over New Zealand in any gourmet outlet like Faro or many of the organic shops.
And are they online as well?
Yes, SheUniverse.com.
SheUniverse.com.
Yeah.
Right, well, time to take another piece of music here, because we're running out of time, and we don't want to probably go with Paul Brady. That's about 7 minutes, so...
There's U2 one there.
U2 Desire. Or no, it's not Desire, it's One.
One.
That was it, yeah. Well, it's actually the way the thing is coming up on Desire, and on a special album. Here it is.
Has U2. To have a U2 one.
U2 are coming here in November, so don't forget, there's still tickets available for that second show.
Is it getting better? Oh,
Yes, that's U2 there, and a lovely song called One. And don't forget, U2 are coming here. They're playing two concerts here in Mount Smart Stadium in Auckland on the 8th and 9th of November. If you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And with me tonight in the studio is Declan Scott. And we're having a chat about what he does, and we'll come back and have a chat to him in a minute. But looking through the Irish Independent, some of the headlines there. Mr. Moonlight case, children to sue killer Quirk for damages. And you'll remember we covered the case of the young girl that was murdered in May last year, and there was two young boys who were now aged 14 found guilty of their murder. They were due to be sentenced yesterday, but the judge has asked for many more reports, psychiatric reports to be done, and sentencing has been put off now till October. Brilliant piece of footage going all around the world of the father and son in Kerry. And this is young Thomas Dean. He was out with his dad. They were out looking at sperm whales flipping around down there in Dingle. And next thing, a humpback whale, literally right in front of the boat, their little inflatable in front of them. And somebody obviously was videoing. If I had the camera when that picture was taken, Declan, I'd have dropped it. But it's a whale of a time. They've never been so close. Father and son circled by humpbacks. And what else is happening here? History is made with the first woman elected European Union president, and hopefully she'll have sympathy for Ireland in the forthcoming negotiations that will continue, no doubt, leading up to Brexit. But certainly she belongs to that group that Fine Gael are aligned to, so that sounds like that is going to be good. Ross approves nearly 50 judges despite all his threats to walk out. He's been asking for changes to the way that the judges are appointed in Ireland for years, but it seems that he went and appointed them there yesterday. Rural broadband firms deny their $400 million 5G plan is too good to be true. And I see here where echoes of O.J. Simpson lawsuit in civil case against the love rival murder. This is the son of Bobby Ryan, or Robert, his son, and Michelle's daughter, with a picture of their dad after they announced that they were taking civil proceedings against the killer of their father, Patrick Quirk, who was found guilty of his murder earlier this year. And that story went on. That trial lasted the longest trial, one of the longest trials in Ireland, nearly 3 months. And finally, the FAI will defy Ross to keep Conway as president. So that's not going to be a good outcome, I'd say, there for the FAI if they're looking for money. OK, we've got another 7 or 8 minutes to go before the end of the programme. We'll go back and continue my chat here with Declan. Chocolate business is still going, but you've branched out into something else. Tell us about a small bit what you're doing now yourself.
Yeah, the focus of my my life at the moment is around working with business, and the chocolate company was very much instrumental in putting me on the speaking stage. So after the earthquakes in Christchurch, we focused our attention on supporting community and been involved in using our business for social good. So I was invited on a speaking tour by Yellow Pages just after that, and that literally seeded the business I now currently work in, which is called Spirited Business.
Spirited Business.
And I also run the Spirited Business Network. So the Spirited Business is working with businesses in helping them build a culture that is more connected towards socially meaningful business and environmentally harmonious and equality and kindness, sort of bringing those values through to business. So a lot of the work I do on a day-to-day basis is now with leadership teams, even working with schools in how to build resilience, how to deal with change, how to manage adversity, and a lot around building our own self-awareness and self-mastery. So I love it. It's what I do. It's what I do naturally. It's what I'm interested in.
Dealing with the people, the management and senior executives and everything in businesses or across the board?
Yeah.
I was listening last week to people that are working, I won't mention their name for a big organisation, but some of these staff been working for this company for 23 years, they're not even getting a living wage. Do you think New Zealand, somebody said, if I know the head of the Wagstaff, Richard Wagstaff, the trade unions here, if we're a low wage economy, if we can get people earning more money, isn't everybody going to benefit? Like we've seen, why is you know, one of the biggest companies in New Zealand, not paying, you know, staff a living wage.
It is shocking, and really when you're in business now, it's changing, but definitely if your staff aren't able to survive, that poverty that is sort of rife, and it's a mindset of lack in the business mind as well. So a lot of the work that I'm focusing on now is trying to shift people's mindset, even around abundance and how we support each other and support our community. Like, a business is really there for a social value, not to just line somebody's pockets. Mm. You're there under the Companies Act for the benefit of society. Where most people think the business is about themselves. So, you know, that's shocking when people cannot live and survive and thrive in the business world or in their work. You know, that's important that we create the right structures and that we support companies that are making those decisions. And sometimes there is a ceiling that we feel we can't go beyond with the minimum wage, for instance.
But you look at the likes of the biggest companies in the world, the Apple, Google, Facebook. Apple have their global headquarters in Ireland. They pay about 0.01% tax, mm-hmm. you know, on their global earnings. Like, why do companies like that, that make so much money, why can't they pay their fair share of tax? They think they're doing it, but why don't the Apple pay tax on the countries where they make their money, like New Zealand and Australia?
That's right. Yeah. And it's interesting, that was my first job as a tax advisor for corporates. And so I thought at the time, who would want an Irish tax advisor? So anywhere else but Ireland, I didn't realise at the time it was going to be like the biggest magnet in the world. And certainly economies have used tax as a magnet for the likes of Apple to move in and to do their thing. Yes, I think it's important that they're stakeholders in all of society and pay their fair share, like us all. We don't have a choice. So, you know, coming from background of taxation, where I've worked in taxation across trees, I have a strong interest in it and also a strong knowledge of it. So it's I think it's changing. People are making the choice with how they spend now, and they're more informed in the companies they want to work for. And
I was listening to RTE last radio yesterday morning, and the head of the World Health Organization was talking. There's millions and millions of children in third world countries that are not getting the vaccinations, you know. And like, you look at these drug companies, the monies that they're making and mm-hmm. stuff, like, it doesn't seem right, does it, that like these companies, you look at them, some of them are in the top 50 companies in the world. They make huge amounts of money, yeah. But yet, and they're involved in making drugs, and there's people, children dying because of the lack of a vaccine that only costs probably $2 or $3. Yeah.
And look, when we look at business, you know, even in the US, the largest industry is the arms industry, followed closely with alcohol and tobacco, and then pharmaceuticals. So you got to wonder at times, are they there for the benefit of the customer? Are they there for the benefit of the people, or just to line the pockets of shareholders? That's a large part of what I'm focusing on with Spirited Business and the Spirited Business Network.
Is there a website that people can look on and get the details?
The Spirited Business Network has a Facebook page.
Facebook
as
page.
Well. It's just by putting in that name.
Spirited Business.
The Spirited Business Network. And we run events here in Auckland each month. So we have one coming up at the end of the month in Parnell here. So
brilliant.
Check it out.
Well, Declan, lovely to talk to you. I'm sorry we could talk for probably another hour, but time is against us here.
We can stay on.
We could record another program, but we're out here next week, or do a podcast later. But anyway, you've been listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And wherever you've been listening tonight, I hope you've enjoyed the program. And we'll come back again next week. Hard to believe we're almost halfway. Well, we are halfway through the middle of July, more than halfway through the year. If you're heading off to Ireland, I know some of the listeners have been heading plans to head off to Ireland for the summer. Enjoy safe travelling. I hope you don't have as much turbulence on a plane like the Emirates one had the other day that I saw on the news last night. But certainly a great time of the year to go back. Of course, the Galway Races is on in a few weeks' time, and a great time to be there. But we're going to go out tonight with one last piece of music from Declan here, and this is a song that I remember hearing a long time ago, the theme from Harry's Game. Declan, thanks again for coming in, and
my
good
pleasure,
luck with all your ventures.
Thank you.
I'll be back next week here. Bye now, and God bless.